Right. Good morning, True Life. I'm so glad you're here on this nice, crisp morning that we have here. I was in the, they've done a lot of stuff to get the heat going. We had a problem with heat this week, and one of the few times I actually had to leave the office and go home and finish my day at home. It was cold in here. But I'm so glad you're here. Let me give you a quick update on Pastor Michael. The surgery was very successful. He has a new hip. Yeah. So the question is, that does that make him a hipster now? I don't know. But he's home. He's doing the rehabilitation stuff, and he will be back with us very, very soon. And he's taking all oncomers that want to race. Let me know. I'll lay some wagers down. If it's me, bet on him. I want to jump in. I got a lot of stuff to cover. For those of you, maybe you're a visitor, I'm Pastor Perry, one of the ministers here on staff. And it's always a privilege to come up here and be able to share the word and continue this series on Grow. I just wanted, this is my first opportunity since I got back from Africa to address everybody here. And I just wanted to do just a couple of quick pictures. The first one there, yeah, this is the water well and the tank that we put in. True Life Church up there. There's Emmanuel at the baby. We just went and hugged on babies one morning. And there we are. We're hitting that gold right there, the water for the village there. And thank you. I think that was all of them, the three pictures. And I want to say thank you to all of those who helped contribute toward that. That water well that we put in, they call them a borehole. The next day, we were able to go in and put in drip irrigation and put in a really large garden to be able to feed the kids and do that. And so, and everything is built on sustaining and doing all of that. We had just a great time. I wanted you to get that picture of Emmanuel because, you know, tough he-man. You know, dude was just crying like get out. So I had to show that in there this morning. But what a great day to be here. I don't know, man. I feel the presence of God here. We were singing that second song, and, man, I was just tearing up with how good God has been to me. And, you know, I reflect sometimes that, thank God he didn't give me what I deserved, but he gave me grace, and he's always been so good to me. So let's just have a word of prayer. We'll jump in today. I'm going to kind of go rapid fire on some things. So Lord, I thank you and praise you this day for your goodness and love. I thank you for this opportunity to be here on this platform. I pray, God, that you would guide my words, Lord, that they would be pleasing to you and hit to the heart of the matter that needs to be addressed. I thank you and praise you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Today, we're going to be talking about growing in wisdom. Growing in wisdom. I think everybody here could say, I could use a little bit more wisdom. Some of you say, Pastor, you definitely could use a little more wisdom. But I could use a little more wisdom. And our text in Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Now, if Jesus grew and set the example for us, I think it's kind of like imperative that we also follow his lead and we grow. You should be a stronger Christian this time next year than you are right now. And you should also be wiser in the future than you are right now. So hopefully you'll join in with me and say, Lord, help us to have more wisdom in this coming year. And as you, those been around me for a while, you know I'm a word geek, and I look up things in the Hebrew and the Greek and all of those things. And it says Jesus grew. That word grew there means to be shaped, to be formed, to be increased, and to be forged like hammering a sword or a tool. We don't like that last part, because if you've ever seen the forging, there's a hammer and there's fire and there's all of that stuff heating up. Sometimes our wisdom does come through some difficult times that we go through, that hammering, that shaping, that forming, but it will form us into something solid that's not going to give up or break really easy. So it says that he grew in wisdom, and that's what we're going to focus on today. And that means intelligence, knowledge, and the practice of it. You ever know that there's some people that have a lot of knowledge, but they don't practice it? My grandpa used to say, that guy is really smart, but he doesn't have any barnyard sense. You know, in other words, he didn't put that knowledge to use. And so another scripture, just to show you that it's not the only place where it talks about people growing. In 2 Samuel 5:10, it says, and David went on, this is during his time of growth, and David went on and grew great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. The Lord of hosts was with him. He grew. So our prayer today, Lord, help me to grow. Help me to do that. And what do we need wisdom in? What's wisdom for? Is it to be able to quote the Bible from back to front? Is it to be able to know all the mysteries of time? Well, I think most of the time, we want wisdom in our decision making. Most of us would say, I have people probably more than any other question people ask me. It's not about when's the rapture going to take place. It's not about what do you think about the millennial reign. What do you think about, alcohol? What do you think about this? The number one question that I get asked is, Pastor, I need wisdom. Can you tell me what I need to do in this situation? Well, no. if it's in Scripture, I can tell you. But if it's not in Scripture, you got to seek God about that. But we need wisdom primarily for the decisions that we're making in life, for the decisions that we're making all over. So people will say, Pastor, what's God's will for my life? Let me just start right in the beginning and we'll get this out of the way. The number one place to find wisdom is in the Word of God. If the Word of God says to do it, then you are always to do it. If the Word of God says don't do it, then you were never supposed to do it, okay? So if you're asking, God, I don't know whether I'm supposed to do this or not. No, God doesn't want you to be a stripper, okay? It's like flee immorality and all of those things. There are certain things that are black and white in the Scripture. But there's other things that we've got to figure out and find God's will for. So that's the area we're talking about. Because, listen, the decisions that we make today determine the stories that we tell tomorrow, okay? They could be good stories or they could be bad stories. And throughout my life, I could say, wow, I made this decision at this time, and boy, I messed that up. I didn't have the mind of God on that one. And I can also say, I am so glad I made that decision, because it's put me where I'm at today, and God's done things. So another person said it this way. Making no decision is a bad decision. Did I jump way ahead there? Yeah, okay, we'll do that. Making no decision is a bad decision. But here's another thing too. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. I thought that was a little better statement than y'all are responding on that, but that's okay. I'm not going to be like Pastor Michael and say, come on, are you tracking? Would you do that? I wouldn't stoop that low to get one of these. I just wouldn't do that. I love Pastor Michael, but I just wouldn't do that, okay? And if I say something really difficult that maybe like, oh, Pastor, I don't like that, then you could just because I'm really sensitive and fear rejection a whole lot. When we think about decisions, we start doing things with our decisions like It is wise to like calculate, is this good? Is it going to cost me? Is it going to, you know, to kind of like measure things. But sometimes we never take time to seek God over a decision. If I asked you today, don't raise your hands because I might embarrass you with it later and you don't have a we love you sign. If I said, hey, look, here's a job opportunity and you can immediately make $15,000 more doing the same thing that you're doing if you like what you're doing. The only problem is you got to move hundreds of miles away to do this. Some of you say, oh man, that's $15,000 more, maybe $20,000 more. I'm jumping at it. So just keep that in the back of your mind. We'll come back to it in a little bit. But one of the things about decision making, I think more than ever, and I was reading on this the other day in a magazine, and it said that this generation is the most indecisive generation that's ever walked the earth. They are more indecisive than any others. So this is my opportunity, because us boomers have been made fun of for a long time. So you millennials and Xers and all that other, I don't even understand who's what. But I know I'm a boomer. I was born in the 50s, so I'm a boomer. But this generation is indecisive. And why? I think it's because of the proliferation of choices. You guys that are younger have more choices than we ever had. Okay, Pastor, go to that old man story now. No, really, listen, I'll go to the old man story. When I grew up in my little town, we had a black and white TV, and we could get one channel. My wife lived in a big town. She said they could get two, you know. We could get one channel if the antenna was right and the weather was right. You know, we might get a fuzzy, squirrely thing some days, but you didn't want to watch that anyway. But we had one TV channel, so you had one of two choices, watch TV or not watch TV. And it was according to what was on. And all afternoon, it was soap operas, so no little kid wanted to watch that anyway. When it came to restaurants, there were very few restaurants to choose from. Some of you are going to have this conversation right after service today. Hey, where do you want to go to eat? I don't care. Where do you want to go to eat? I don't care. Well, how about this? No, we've been there before. Let's go to this place. And you've got, you know, 3, 4, 5 dozen choices that you can make within a half hour's drive of here. So many choices. We had two choices, and it wasn't even in our town. Bob's Diner or Sam's Diner. We had the S&J too in Dagsboro, one restaurant, and S&J stood for Stanley, and I think his brother's name was James. And when James died, he just said it was Stanley and Jesus with that. But unlimited options, but we still can't make up our mind. And I think part of the reason is today, with this generation that we're living in now, there is also this illusion of perfection. We mean illusion of perfection. Well, I think social media, and Pastor Michael's talked about this. With social media, we see people's highlight reels. You know, the perfect hair, the perfect clothes, the perfect toned body, the perfect car, the perfect date, the perfect restaurant, the perfect meal you see displayed right there on Facebook and the other things, and you're home in your sweatpants watching reruns on TV, eating off-brand chicken nuggets on a paper plate. And you think, I'm a terrible person. I'm awful. I'm a failure. And this can mess us up when we're seeking the perfect will of God for our life. You see, sometimes we make decisions and we get some things that aren't really scriptural. And we say, you know, we say things like, oh, they're my soulmate. They're my soulmate. That's not in scripture, first of all. But what is a soulmate? They're the only one for me. Well, what if they marry somebody else? Then you're lost forever. No, God has a plan for your happiness and your joy and other things in life. I mean, what if my wife would have married that guy whose ambition was to be a stock car driver? She would have really lost out. But what would have happened to me? I didn't hear all of that, but we get get so concerned of God is so restrictive. God is, you know, but I want to tell you something. God wants us to have wisdom. And it's not based on what somebody else has. It's not based on the current trend. The thing there again, making no decision is a bad decision. And so many people, because there's so many choices out there, end up, some of you, if you're not careful today, what restaurant are we gonna go to? You're gonna get mad at each other, not go anywhere, and go home and eat a bologna sandwich. Making no decision is a bad decision. I wanna talk to you today about how to grow in wisdom. How do we grow in wisdom when it's becoming more and more difficult to decide? Where do I go to college? Should I date this person? Should I get married? Should we have another child? Should we buy this house? Should we rent? Should I get another car? Should I take this job? Should I move to another city for $15,000? If anybody's gonna understand what God wants in their life, it would be the Apostle Paul. I mean, this dude wrote the majority of the New Testament. He had encounters with God in heavenly places. He started churches all over the place. If anybody knows what's coming to them, it would have been Paul. God must have given him special insight. It's the Apostle Paul. And I know some of you probably envy that. Like, why doesn't God speak to me like he spoke to Paul? Why doesn't God give me instruction like he gave Paul instruction? Well, let's look at that. Here's a scripture. In here it says, perhaps I will stay with you a while. That is so precise, isn't it? I mean, perhaps. Not, hey, I'm going to stay with you for 3 weeks. No, perhaps. This is God giving him wisdom and direction. Perhaps I will stay with you. Well, how long, Paul? A while. How long is a while? I've had the house guests that stayed for a while. And a while. And a while. A while? Well, or even spend the winter. Okay. So that you can help me on my journey. Where are you going? Wherever. Wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make it only a passing visit. Okay, so when are you going to do it? Well, I hope to spend some time with you. Good, we're really glad. Well, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door of effective work has opened to me. Oh, they must really love you there. Well, there are many who oppose me. So you see, somebody like the great Apostle Paul, God didn't give him the full picture of every decision he was to make. He knew he was supposed to do something, but he didn't get the whole picture at once. And some of us sometimes want God to give us the whole picture. And God just wants us to take a step. He wants to go in that direction. And so he didn't have a clue what was to come next. He didn't have a clue as to, he knew he needed to do something. He didn't have the details. He served God, though, I think, in a pretty effective manner. If you feel a bit like Paul, take comfort in this. God doesn't always show us the whole future. God doesn't always show us all the details. Man makes plans in his heart, but God determines the steps, the Word of God says. So step by step, we grow. We grow into God's will, step by step. Some of you are doing things here at the church now that you never dreamed you would do. Maybe you're working in children's church. Maybe you're on the worship team. Maybe you're tech. Some of you thought, tech, yeah, right. Maybe you're doing one of those things. Maybe you're teaching a small group or attending a small group, and you thought you would never do that, but you said, you know what? I will give this a try. I will take a step in that direction. So listen, when you did that prayer, Lord, we want to know what you want us to do. Show us what to do. Show me, God. First, you need to answer this question. Why? Why do I want you to show me, Lord? Why? Why do you want to know God's will? I see people asking that question sometimes. And I want to say, do the things that God's already laid out in His Word for you to do. Before you start asking for this grand plan of God's. So know the why. Why do I want to know God's will? Second, get yourself in the right place to receive wisdom. That's the who. Who are you to know God's will? Well, I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm His servant. I'm His child. I love God. I'm doing the things His words. Are you? Get the who straight. If you get the who straight, God will start to show you the what. Does that make sense to you? Get the who straight, and God will take care of the what. Who before the do. Sounds like a little song. Well, when you become the who, God will lead you to the right do. God doesn't always show us specifically what to do, but He'll give us the wisdom to decide. Okay, so let's look at Solomon. Let's look at Solomon. When Solomon became king, he was to sacrifice a bull before the Lord, a burnt offering. So that's a pretty cool thing. Solomon, we anoint you, boom, you're king. All he needs to do is then to go before the temple to the priest, and they are to sacrifice a bull on his behalf. Solomon says, not going to happen. I'm going to sacrifice 1,000 bulls before the Lord. And this sacrifice was an act of worship before God. So what he did there was an extravagant act of worship towards God. God said to him after that extravagant form of worship, God said, hey, what do you want? I'll give it to you, whatever you want. Do you think generosity moves the heart of God? It does. And he gave this extravagant form of worship. Let me tell you what. One of the things in church that you need to know is you'll get out of it what you put into it. You will. You'll get out. We had acoustic worship this morning. You know, I was kind of grooving on that just a little bit there. Matter of fact, when they were singing that second song, God, you've been so good to me, you've been so good to me. Man, I was tearing up, and I said it in the beginning, you know. But sometimes we just need to forget about all of our activities, all of the stuff, and when we're worshiping, worship God, focus on Him. Solomon says this, when God says, what do you want, Solomon? How many of you ever played that game? If I hit that lottery thing, you know, walk down the street and you found a lottery ticket. If I hit that lottery, you know, for $700 million, anybody ever played that game? What would I do with that money? Of course, you would tithe first. Somebody said that. We were in a Bible study one time, and one of the men said, do you ever dream if you hit the lottery and did that? And everybody there confessed, yeah, we had that little dream. And he said, what would you do first? And somebody said, pay my tithes. And being ornery, I said, would you do it on the gross or the net? And the guy said, well, that would be a lot of money if I did it on the gross. You got to pay taxes. I said, you just spent $2 and you're a millionaire and already you're getting stingy with God. But he could have asked God for anything, for his enemies to be vanquished, to have riches untold, to have the biggest kingdom ever. He could have said, I want to have influence around the world. And he said, God, this is what I want. I want the wisdom to be able to be pleasing to you, to make decisions that will honor you, to know right from wrong. That's what I want. I want to be a good king. And God said, because you didn't ask for those other things, I'm going to give you that wisdom, double portion of it, and I'm going to give you all those other things included. You see, when we come before God with the right heart, He's going to give us those things that we need. In Proverbs 4:7, it says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. That word get, you think you know what it means? It means to acquire, to create, to buy, to possess. Some of us have wisdom now and then, but we need to possess wisdom. It means people see you, they should see a wise person. I didn't say like you understand calculus to the nth degree or something like that, but we need to walk with wisdom, and you get that in God's word. Wisdom is skill, prudence, shrewdness, good sense. Boy, we could use some good sense today, couldn't we? And it says that wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. It means it's the choice part. It should be one of the features of your life, a foundation. And good judgment just means understanding. So how do we do this? Let's move here real quickly through these if we can. I'm going to give you three things to help you with wisdom. Number one, you need to walk with the wise. You need to walk with the wise. Proverbs says it this way: walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. It's almost impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Pastor Michael said this, it's been said several times. It's almost impossible to live the right life when you've got the wrong friends. Now, this is talking about walking with. What does it mean there? It means to be in fellowship with. Now, somebody will say, but Jesus, he would be the one hanging around in the bars and with the prostitutes and the tax collectors, and that's who Jesus would hang out with. Yeah. But if Jesus went into the bar, they had changed the name from Sam's Bar to Sam's First Assembly Church. Because people's lives would change. They would. Hate to go there. The prostitutes quit prostituting. The tax collectors paid their money back. Read about Zacchaeus. Lives changed when Jesus went around them. So I'm not saying you can't have, you know, like your only friends can be the ones in the church. But the ones that you're intimate with, the ones that you're close to, you walk with those. So how do I do that? It means doing life with people more than just asking wise people questions. Means doing life with them. It's why we do small groups, starting real soon, as Kyle has told you, and we'll probably slip it in again right towards the end. It's why we do small groups. We're pulled in so many directions during the week. We need to get together with other people with the same struggles, and maybe somebody with those same struggles has some wisdom of how to get out of it. It's why your kids need to be in youth group. It's why they need to be in motion. It's why they need to be that stuff. Because they're pulled in so many different directions today. I mean, I can't even imagine. This world has got so much worse than when I thought it was worse when I was a kid. They need to be in there. You need to encourage them. You need to bring them out. If you want to have a good marriage, hang around with some people with a good marriage. If you want to be, you know, for me, I wanted to be a good minister. So I started hanging around ministers that I admired, not just that preached good or had the big church. I wanted to be around pastors who loved people and cared about people and cried with people and hurt with people. Walk with the wise. Walk this way. Okay. We don't have drums, so I'll leave that off. You want God's direction? Hang out with God's people. It doesn't mean you're not ministering to those who are far from God. I've got several friends who don't know God, but they're getting closer every time they hang out with me. You're walking with those who are walking with Jesus. Number two, ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. You want God to give you direction? Ask for it. James 1:5. Says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, it will be given to you. If anyone lacks wisdom, anybody here besides me lack wisdom in areas? You know, two of you. Okay. Next week, we're going to talk about lying. If you lack wisdom, that word lack means to be inferior, destitute of, lagging behind, lacking, or the feeling of failure. Any of you ever felt that way? Oh my gosh. I'm that way, you know, I battle that constantly in areas of my life. I've been asked sometimes, Pastor, you've been preaching for a long, long time. You know, I could never do that. I'd be so nervous. I am nervous as a cat when I'm standing backstage. Why? Because I still can't believe I get to do this after all these years. And I want to do it right. I want to be able to help somebody, minister to somebody. So it says, if you lack wisdom, ask. And that word ask means more than just like, hey, God, could you drop some wisdom on me? You know, it means, the word ask there, it's one of the few times in a prayer thing it actually says this. It means to ask, to call for, to crave, to desire, to beg. I mean, look, there are times and situations I've had to handle, not just as a pastor, but as a husband, as a father, as a friend, where I've gone before God and I'm just like, God, I have to be the dumbest creature on earth. I need your wisdom right now. I don't know what to do here, God, and it's important I make the right decision. Please, God. Without finding fault. God, that just means God doesn't demean you. He doesn't. You ask God for wisdom, he'll give you wisdom, but you must ask. He won't put you down. You've heard the thing, there are no dumb questions. Yes, there are. I've heard some. I've asked some. Especially with technology. there are, but God will never say, that's a stupid question. God will always, he will never demean us. You know, it's kind of like the evolution of children. When your children are little, you know, little teeny things, you know, and they start growing up into toddlers, you are the smartest person on the face of the earth. You can fix anything. You can help with anything. You're strong. You are it. And then they get a little bit older, and you're not as smart. You start to lose it. And if you've ever been to the stage where your kids are teenagers, if not, those of you with little kids, get ready. No offense, teenagers. Don't get sensitive on me. You become just plain stupid. You know? My mom and dad, they are so dumb. They are so stupid. And then they get in college and maybe out of college, and all of a sudden, your brain starts to work again. They look at you and you're a little teeny bit smarter. And then they have kids and it's like, how in the world did you do this? You're a genius. Wisdom. You can get it every day. Listen, you can get it. How do I, with the kids, let me just say this too. I've been learning, this has been something God's been putting in me lately. And some of the stuff I've been listening to and studying. As a parent now of kids with kids, and, you know, even my grandkids thought I was smart, and now if you ask Sydney, her pop-ups, you know, well, you know. Penny and I decided to be low-maintenance parents and in-laws. What does that mean? We don't go and tell our kids what they need to do. They're grown adults. They got homes of their own. They got families of their own. And we don't tell them how to raise their kids. We don't tell them how to correct their kids. We don't tell them any of that stuff. They make those decisions. We don't put into it. I actually asked one of my daughter-in-laws this week before I preached this. I said, look, I want you to be blunt honest with me. I'm not going to tell you it won't hurt my feelings, but if it does, it needed to be hurt. Am I this kind of parent? Am I this kind of father-in-law? And she said, no, Pop, no, not at all. But listen, we don't tell them. Now, if they ask, don't ask me if you don't want to know. If they ask, we'll tell, but we'll tell in a polite way. My kids are doing a great job raising their kids. And I appreciate that. Now, I will say this, though. With my sons, it's different. One of my sons, one day, I saw him fussing at his wife for something that was stupid. And it was stupid. And when I got him to himself, I said, listen to me, son. I'm your daddy. I'm going to tell you this one time. You go to the store and you buy your wife some really nice flowers. You buy her some candy. You take her out to dinner. And you tell her you're sorry for the way you talk to her. But, Dad, she... I said, no. That's the woman that loves you. And I know you, you know. Next day he called me. He said, Dad, I bought the flowers, bought the candy, took her out, and I told her those things. Thank you, Dad. So I still have some of those things. Let me move on here. I'm getting sidetracked here. So where can I get the wisdom from him? Number one, every single day from his word, from other believers in a small group, Kyle, small group, see? And also from hearing the voice of his spirit. That's how I can get wisdom. You can get wisdom from other people. So the last thing, we walk those that are wise, we ask God. The last thing is, oops, did I throw another scripture out of there? Oh yeah, I didn't. Let me back up here. I like this scripture here. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go, and I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. He said, I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to help you. It's kind of like, you know, have you ever been, you ever taught a kid to ride a bicycle? You know, and that's what wisdom is. God wants to teach us. He wants to train us. He'll show us the way we need to go. He will counsel with us through one of those three areas, but he'll also have a loving eye on us. When your kid wants to take the training wheels off the bicycle, you don't say, here's the wrench, take them off, go out there beside the road and just start riding. No, no, no. How many of you remember holding onto the bike and running and running and running and running, and they get faster and faster and faster, and finally you let go, and they run right into a sticker bush or something. And you pick them back up and you say, you did really good. You did really good. You did really good. Let's go again. And you boom, and they're off. That's the way God is. He will instruct us, and if we mess up, he'll pick us back up. The last thing, the scripture right after that, I just love this scripture. It has nothing to do with it, but don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. You mule. The last one is this. Just decide. Just decide. Again, if you don't make any decision, that's a bad decision. Just decide. My youth pastor used to say this. The road called tomorrow leads to the house of never. If you never make a decision, you're never going to do anything. You need to make a decision. We're so scared of making a decision. We're so scared of making a decision, we make no decision. I showed the pictures, just a couple. Oh my gosh, I could be here for 3 hours showing you pictures. Man, he took so many pictures. I mean, you know, he almost broke the internet. All of us did. It was such a great trip. But if you're honest with me, there's two or three more of you that should have been on that trip. And you just couldn't pull the trigger. You couldn't make that decision. This isn't to put you down. It's to teach you, don't do that the next time. Matter of fact, while I'm saying that, the next time will be June the 9th through the 14th. We'll be flying out to the Dominican Republic. It's just a short trip, just a week. And if you're interested in going to the Dominican Republic for a really quick missions trip, it'll be a whole week down there. We'll hit the ground running. We'll have 6 days of just intense work and stuff in the Dominican Republic. No, we're not going to be laying on the beach drinking one of those things with a straw in it, or with an umbrella in it. I don't think. I'm not going to. But if you're interested in going, see me after service, because you need to make sure you get a passport. And because it's quick, we're going to have to start getting money in right away. Okay? So, Dominican Republic, get God's wisdom on it for this summer. So, listen, no decision, again, is often worse than a wrong decision. What do you mean by that? Sometimes, I'm not talking about sin, okay? I went years ago, I was working in a church, got out of college. I knew since I was 15 years old I was supposed to be a pastor. When I got saved at 15. Went to school, all the stuff. We were teaching in a Christian school. I was preaching here and there, working at the church we were a part of, and had the opportunity to go to Baltimore and pastor. And I jumped at it, didn't even ask my wife about it. I accepted it. I love the people of the church. When they tell you, and you're a pastor, when they tell you, this church has great potential. It didn't. I went there the first week, there were 16 people. The pastor had run off with a young gal, and they were all feuding and fighting. And my very first Sunday, two women got in a fist fight in the lobby. I mean, a literal fist fight, you know, cussing and everything. My church shrank the first week. 2 years there, I'm a country boy. I hated Baltimore. I hated not the people of Baltimore. I just hated living in the city. That wasn't me. So after 2 years, we had the opportunity to move to this area. That was 40 years ago last week. God still loved me, and still God put me in a place that I needed to be. But I made a mistake, and that mistake eventually led to God bringing me here. Some of you might say, wish you'd stayed in Baltimore. Sometimes you just need to decide. The enemy paralyzes you with fear and indecision. That was Africa. God has instructed and taught and counseled us to make a decision. Most of the time, there's no bright lights. If you're waiting for God to thunder a voice down, thou shalt go, or thou shalt do, God's probably not going to audibly tell you that you need to go to Life Track and help out in the children's area. I don't think any of our children's workers ever receive that, but they're back there working, doing a great job. He's given us the freedom to choose, unless it's a do or don't in Scripture. God says this. This is a beautiful thing. God says, I trust you to make the call. What if I mess up? What if I get it wrong? I need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Let's look at one more scripture here. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. Notice Paul didn't say God instructed us. He made a decision. What do you do if you mess up? If you mess up, you gain wisdom. When I was a little boy, I went to my great uncle's house. He had a pony, and that pony's name was Lightning. And it was a beautiful Palomino type thing, you know, beautiful thing. And we were having a big dinner there and having a lot of fun. And I walked around to the barn, and Lightning got really close to me, and I wanted to even get closer. And the only thing keeping us apart was this little wire. So I grabbed a hold of it to look. That wasn't the only thing with Lightning that day. Guess what? I made a mistake and I got wisdom from it. Never did that again. Last scripture, then we're going to close. I'm behind time here. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate, and they said to each other, why stay we here until we die? Why stay we here until we die? The story with these lepers is real simple. They were sitting outside the gate because they couldn't go in the city with their people, the Jewish people, and they were waiting for scraps to be given to them. If they go inside the city and to get close to people, they could be executed. If they stay there where they're at, they're going to die of starvation. The enemy is across the way, and it's the Syrians, and they say, well, we could go to the Syrians and beg for mercy and cry, and they might feed us or they might kill us. But if we stay where we're at, we're surely going to die. So they said, you know what? Let's just make our mind up and go. God didn't speak to them. God didn't. They said, we're going to do something. And it wasn't a sin, and none of it was a sin. So they got up and they started walking towards it. And God miraculously amplified these four sick guys, their footsteps, and the Syrians heard an army coming towards them. Sounded like chariots and horses. And they said, oh my gosh, they got the Hittites to join in with them. They're attacking us. And they left everything, food, horses, animals, all kinds of stuff. And they just, the lepers went from starving to almost gluttony, you know. They decided to do something. I'm going to tell you, if you're waiting for everything to be perfect, to decide to work with the children, to join one of the teams here, to go to a small group, to go on a missions trip, you'll never do anything. Sometimes you just got to decide. And if you go back to the children's area and you work, and you go, man, I hate this. Like I really hated pastoring in Baltimore. Then you know what? You just say, God, I blew this. I blew it. Give me something else to do. And he will. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? The wisest thing you'll ever do, I did 50 years ago. And that was accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. That was the wisest thing I've ever done. Second wisest thing was marry that woman he gave me. But listen, God wants to fulfill your wildest dreams. He wants to do great things for you. And to do great things for you, he wants to do great things through you. But it starts with receiving him as your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you haven't made that decision, you would like to, would you just lift your hands real? Anybody here today? Amen. If you say, Pastor, I've got a lot of things right now I need wisdom for. Could you pray for me to receive wisdom in these decisions I have to make? Anybody here? Just be honest. Amen. 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 Let me pray for you. Then Kyle's going to come out and give you some instruction and pray as well. Father, I thank you and praise you. God, that we have wisdom at our disposal. But Lord, you're not just going to drop it on us. We're going to have to seek after it. We're going to have to walk with the wise. We're going to need to ask. And then we're going to need to decide. I pray, Father, those who lifted their hands and maybe others, that you'll help them get there. I know you will. So, Father, we put it in your hands in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you.